Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it is time for Post Up with Nathan Bush. I am here. Well, right now I'm live. Maybe you'll be listening to it live, and maybe it won't be. But anyway, I'm here tonight with Caleb Luther.
Hey,
what's up, Caleb?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Here,
right.
Talk about basketball, you know.
Yeah, that's why we're here. It's a show about basketball.
It is.
It is. It's Post Up with Nathan Bush, guys. I'm glad if you're listening now, I'm glad you're listening. If you're listening at a later time, I'm still glad you're listening. And if you're not listening, well, that's your fault. So tonight we're going to talk about a few different things. First, I want to give out the guest call-in number. If you want to call in, join the talk here. It is 1-646-668-2657. We'll get you on the air here. Tonight we're talking about our brackets. Ugh.
Again.
Just ugh.
Things have went astray.
Yeah, a little bit. And we're also going to talk about maybe the NBA MVP, maybe some Coach of the Year, stuff like that.
Sure.
All right. So, your bracket, how's it doing?
Let's see. Sweet 16's next, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, boy. Well, right off the bat, I have two teams that are out. With Virginia and Villanova. Actually, I got four teams that are out. Right back to back to back. And I think maybe you – did you have Florida beating Virginia?
I did, actually. I did. I had Florida beating Virginia.
I thought maybe you had UNC Wilmington beating Virginia. Did you have UNC Wilmington beating Virginia?
In the first round, yeah, I did.
Yeah, you had Virginia in the first
round. Florida beating, I had Florida beating UNC Wilmington. So
Florida,
I got Florida right.
I
don't know hardly anybody that got Villanova right.
I got all those wrong, which is already a bad sign. But the next up, I got three out of four. I got Gonzaga, West Virginia, and Arizona. But Maryland, as we all know, lost in the first round.
Yeah, I got that too.
Xavier.
You know, Xavier just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, Xavier, 11th seed. So good for them, I guess. Then I got Kansas, Oregon, and Louisville. Iowa State almost did it, but they lost to Purdue. How many do you have in that region?
Let's see. I got Kansas. I got Purdue. I got I didn't
Louisville.
Have Oregon. I did not have Oregon.
Louisville's out. My bad.
Louisville got beat.
Yeah, I only got two of those then. I got Kansas and Oregon. So you got two as well, Kansas and Purdue.
Yeah, I got two. Yeah.
So then the next one, is Butler still in this thing? Butler beat Middle Tennessee? Okay. Wichita State almost beat Kentucky. I had them beating Kentucky, but I got three out of four of that. I got UNC, Butler, and UCLA. So all in all, it's pretty bad. I know you probably have all of those, don't you? UNC, Butler.
I got UNC. No, I didn't have Butler. I had Middle Tennessee.
Oh, God, Nathan. That's your Wichita State.
Yeah. I got Kentucky, and I got
UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA. Man, it took me a minute.
UCLA might win this. Well, UCLA might win this thing, man. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're a very solid team. They're playing really well right now.
Because he's that good. I didn't think he was, but he is. Lonzo Ball, very good. The second he starts playing well, the team just turns around and they turn. I know he was off in the first half of the game the other night, but in the second half he just controlled the game completely. And they couldn't stop him. So yeah,
I mean, I got. There's very little you
so
can do.
So we both have. We still have three of our final four teams. So not so bad.
Yeah, we do.
That's probably better than some. Some people probably don't have UCLA in the final four, but I do. I know you have Kentucky.
I have UK.
Yeah. You have Kentucky there. Yeah. They might beat UCLA. That'll be a good game. I'm looking forward to that game.
I've got Kentucky. I've still got Kansas, who we both had winning it all.
I have
Arizona
all.
Still.
Me too.
That top bracket has just screwed everybody.
Yeah, man. That's just Duke
the
and Villanova losing.
It's,
you took a big chance with SMU, and that just kind of backfired.
Yeah, boy, did it not pay off. Oh, my God.
No,
it
did not
pay off. But here's the thing. When you go back and look at that bracket the first day, and you're like, of all the teams, who do you think?
That's tough.
Let's just say 1 through 6. All right, 1 through 6.
Yeah.
What's the most likely team to not be there come the Sweet 16? You think Baylor. Right?
They're there, man.
Like, all signs are pointing to Baylor being the team that will be gone, and they're one of the only two left.
Dude, we underestimated them this year.
We've got Wisconsin, which is an 8. You got the 10 seed in South Carolina, and then Florida and Baylor.
Who would predict
no
South
Duke,
Carolina?
No Villanova,
though.
No SMU. The 3 conference tournament winners in that bracket are gone. And it's like, well, who saw this coming? And I purposely picked Baylor to lose. Because I know how Baylor are. They screw me every year. And
SMU
not picking them, they've screwed me this year.
Here's the thing, man. This bracket, it was unfair from the start because Villanova was the overall number one seed, right? So
yeah.
they kind of got screwed having to play a team like Wisconsin in the second round. Whenever you look at who did Kansas play in the second round? They played Miami. Like
Michigan
Miami
State.
Is just
– They did not
oh, they
play
Michigan
State. Michigan
State. Oh, yeah, they played Michigan. My bad. I had Michigan State losing in the first round because that's what they do.
You know,
but
Michigan State actually looked really good for about,
a
40-minute game, and Michigan State looked fantastic for about 36 minutes.
Then it just fell apart.
Yeah,
Michigan State, they were a team that a lot of people were questioning if they should even be in the tournament, and Wisconsin was a team that a lot of people were, like, suspecting they'd be, like, a 5 or a 4 seed, and they ended up getting an 8 seed. So they almost set up Villanova to fail. Now, Duke, I can't defend them. No excuse for them. They should have won.
Well, yeah, there's that, and then don't forget the Wichita State. Excuse me, Wichita State, the low seeding of them, which almost cost Kentucky. Because,
Wichita State's clear. They're clearly a better team than a 10 seed. I think they're at least a 6 seed. Yeah.
And Michigan is on fire right now.
I honestly figured they would be, but I thought Louisville would beat them. but
Louisville was in control for most of the game, but they came out cold in the second half, and that just killed them.
I didn't get to watch the game.
I got to watch it. It seems to be the reoccurring thing in this tournament. A higher seed will come out dominant, and then they will just lose. They will just lose it in the second half. I don't know what's going on there. Like, I saw Arizona the other night blow a big lead.
I thought they were going to lose. I thought they lost until I checked today. I was like, oh, they won. Okay.
And then Gonzaga gave up a big lead to Northwestern even. And
dude,
I think Northwestern gets that goaltend call.
There were two goaltend calls they missed. Like, one was questionable. I think they should be able to review. I think that's the one thing they should be able to review goaltends because I think it's important. And the referee,
the coach,
technical, like, there's a reason why that coach got a technical, because he was right. I mean,
he
saw
right.
something. If he saw it, you can't tell me that the referee that's right underneath the basket couldn't see that. Like, there's no way. Like, they had to have been able to see that his hand went through the rim. It's ridiculous, kind of. The officiating's been really poor all tournament.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, it's unfortunate. But
West Virginia looking good, so that's all I care about really now, because my bracket kind of sucks. So West Virginia just needs to win it all.
would be nice if they did, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think they got Gonzaga's number. I think they got him. They'll beat him.
I think they should. They should win. Like very.
Yeah.
They very much should win.
Yeah. I think Gonzaga's just got height on him. That'll be the only problem because they got those two guys that are 7 foot. One guy's over 7 foot. But
yeah.
That's really. I think that's the only concern I have. Really, I think we can press them. We can put a lot of pressure on them because Notre Dame was one of the most sophisticated teams in the nation. They averaged like 9 turnovers a game, and they got 9 turnovers in like the first half because West Virginia's pressure was just that strong. So they fluster teams.
West Virginia, like, I know I watch them play, and they really handled themselves well against Notre Dame. They also shot the ball really, really well.
Dude, they played like perfect against Notre Dame. I thought. It's like a few mistakes, really.
Perfect. They did play very well. They played very,
there were
very
some time,
well.
There were some times where they went stretches without scoring, but it's not like they had bad possessions, you know. Like, they still had good looks. They just wasn't falling. But then they'd turn it around 3 minutes later, and they'd score some baskets, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching them, and Nathan Adrian is just an unsung hero. Without him, they go nowhere. And
yeah.
He's just a hustler. And I watch them, and Elijah Macon played well. You know, their rebounding was fantastic. Their shooting was great. Javon Carter hit one from about the parking lot, and
yeah,
their shooting was on point. And it was
next.
If they play like that, they're going to be very tough to beat. And I have them beating Gonzaga in my bracket, but
so do I.
It's hard to call right now.
If Dexter Miles Jr. plays the way he did in every game from now on, like he did in the Notre Dame game, I think they're hard to beat because he's a guy you don't expect to come out and score a lot, but he looked really confident in his jump shot. He was scoring off the dribble, and he was sort of unstoppable for a few possessions there.
Yeah, he really was. And I don't know, Notre Dame just wasn't ready for that press either. And
no, they weren't.
I haven't watched Gonzaga a lot this year. I don't know if they've been pressed like that. The sad and unfortunate part is they're going to have a little time to prepare for it.
Yeah, they
and
will.
West Virginia is going to be out west, and they have a rough time out there. So we'll
see. They've been playing out there all year though out west. So
that's true. So it's
so maybe they'll be.
We'll just have to wait and see. I really hope they can pull it off, though. I know I'm looking forward to it. I know we both picked a lot of upsets. I found the USC upset to be maybe one of the most surprising.
Which one?
Probably the South Carolina game probably had to be the biggest upset, though.
Well, yeah, who was going to predict that?
Either that or the
good.
Villanova game.
Yeah.
Those were the two big upsets.
But I really don't think, for some reason, for Wisconsin beating Villanova, just for some reason, like knowing Wisconsin's track record, it makes sense to me. Like if there was gonna be a team to beat Villanova that early, it would be Wisconsin. It's just unfortunate that Villanova had to play a team like Wisconsin with that many veterans on their team. Like they're just a really good team. Wisconsin, I could see them with the bracket they're in right now. They could make it to the Final Four, I think. Because they got to play. They got to play Florida. They can beat Florida. Like, they can beat them. And then they'd have to play the winner between South Carolina and Baylor. So, I mean,
I'll tell you, man, the SEC,
not the toughest competition.
And the SEC and the Big Ten have really stepped it up in the tournament.
The
really
Big
have.
Ten.
The
Big Ten.
The SEC. Go ahead.
You go. The Big Ten always, I feel like they always show up in the tournament. Like, they really do. Like, it's either they catch a lot of flack, and then come tournament time, they deliver. Because Michigan's in the Big Ten, right?
They got, well, Maryland's in the Big Ten. It didn't go over well for them.
Yeah,
but,
they
you know, you had Michigan, you've had, Michigan State had a good showing against Kansas, like I said, for 36 minutes.
Yeah.
And especially with most people saying they shouldn't have got in, they did win that first game. Then you had, you got Florida still in it. Kentucky is still in it. You know, the SEC's really turned, or that's the SEC. South Carolina and the Big Ten, Michigan, you got Wisconsin still in there. So I mean, there's a lot of teams in there. The ACC is looking awful right now. Louisville gone, Virginia Tech gone, Miami gone. You've got who's the other team? Notre Dame is gone. They've got Duke gone.
UNC's is like the only
UNC's
team.
About
isn't
it.
Yeah, UNC's it. Big 12's got three teams, so that's pretty good.
That's pretty shocking from the Big 12. Normally they're all gone by the second day. Oh, we forgot another Big Ten team. Purdue. We forgot Purdue.
Yeah, they're a sleeper there.
But Purdue really is a sleeper team. Like, nobody really had them doing much, but they are a solid team. And
well,
they're
Iowa State beating them. It'll be a good one. Iowa State's pretty good, though, man. Like, I think they're better than what you were giving them credit for. Like, they probably should have won that game. That was a close one, man. That was a really close game.
I didn't give them a lot of credit for the simple fact of
they choked.
It's a Big 12 team, and they're known for choking.
Yeah.
So that was my main.
So Baylor replaced them.
So, you know, it's one of those things. That's why I didn't go far with Baylor. And the only two teams I thought really had any sort of major talent out of the Big 12 was West Virginia and
Kansas.
And Kansas, obviously.
Yeah.
To me, Kansas is still the best team in this thing. And the reason I put a lot of faith in Kansas is because they are so well battle tested. Like, every game this year was close. They know how to close out big games. We've seen it against West Virginia. We've seen it against Baylor. Like, they really go out there, they battle, and they know how to finish games. And they have a great point guard leader in Frank Mason. Josh Jackson, to me, is one of the best players in the country. And Graham was just destroying him last night from three.
Yeah, the point guard, shooting guard, small forward is just a ridiculous package. Like, you can't really match
it
really
any
other team. But here's the thing.
If they could have got Perry Ellis back for that 12th season, I think maybe they could have really, really sealed it this year.
He'd have to come out on a walker by then, though.
Yeah. I did see an article the other day that said Perry Ellis, this is Kansas' first NCAA tournament game without Perry Ellis since 1957. I thought that was pretty funny.
Like, Kansas, I think Kansas clearly has the best team, but you got to look, Kentucky a couple years ago clearly had the best team with Karl Anthony Towns and, like, Devin Booker, and they ended up losing to a team that's not as good as them. That's just how the NCAA tournament works sometimes.
Well, that's the whole thing with the whole one-and-done game. That's how it turns out.
So Kansas could lose in a second to a team that's not nearly as good as them if they just have one rough night. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting Sweet 16. It's going to be great to see how teams prepare, and we'll see where it goes.
Yep.
But moving on. I did want to talk about the NBA.
Okay.
Which I actually did flip it over to just now. The Clippers are playing the Knicks, and it's a 10-point game right now. But with the NBA season kind of winding down and you being eliminated from the fantasy basketball playoffs.
I had a rough go, man. I feel like Villanova. Like, I feel like I had to play a pretty rough team in the first round. Pretty hard team.
He's got a pretty good team. They really turned it on as of late.
Yeah, he's
I'm
got a really
the
good
number
team.
One seed. I'm playing the guy that hasn't lost all year.
Yeah.
And speaking of fantasy basketball, Larry Dameron's league sucks, and Larry Dameron beat me to death in it. So, you know how it is. But apparently Paul Pierce is still on the Clippers. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he doesn't get that much playing time, but he's on there.
Yeah. But we want to talk about the NBA MVP this season because it's basically been narrowed down to about, I'd say, probably four players would be who you would give the title to this year.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, LeBron James, or Kawhi Leonard. And you and I have talked in private about it, and – you know, we know where we lean, but let's just get it out there. Who do you think should take home the MVP?
Well, as cool as it would be to see Russell Westbrook take it home, I think James Harden probably deserves it. It's just I'm looking at his numbers, and they're arguably better than Westbrook's numbers. It's just he doesn't have that triple-double that Westbrook has, but his field goal percentage is better, and his team's just way better. Like, his team's really good. You see Westbrook tonight, they just got manhandled by the Warriors, and I see that happen to the Thunder a lot. Team's just not good enough, I don't think. And so it'd be cool to see him win with that triple-double. Like, that'd be a really cool stat to have, but I think James Harden, that's who I'm leaning towards. With Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he's a perfect player. It's just his team's so stacked. Like, I just don't see him being the MVP, and LeBron James, best player in the league, but his stats don't compare to the top two guys.
Okay.
So I go with James Harden.
So, everyone, if you've listened to this show, you know that I'm a Russell Westbrook guy. I've been leaning towards him all year. Let me throw this out there. Okay, right now, these are the stats as of this very moment. Kawhi Leonard, season stats, 26.1 points per game, about 6 rebounds a game, 3.5 assists a game, and he averages at almost 2 steals. Okay, that's Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
LeBron James, 26.2 points per game, 8 assists, almost 9 assists, and 8.5 rebounds, plus a steal a game. James
That's
Harden.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah, great stats. Not taking
yeah,
it away.
Good.
Now,
yeah, it's really good.
Here comes the step up. James Harden.
Yeah.
29.2 points per game, 8.1 rebounds per game. He's getting a steal and a half a game. Also, 11.2 assists.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And in the past 3 games, he scored 41, 40, and 39.
Yeah, he's something. He's something else.
Now, for the guy that I think should be MVP, Russell Westbrook, scoring champion right now, leading the scoring, 31.7 points, 10 assists, 10.3 assists. His assist numbers have actually went up.
Yeah, they were at
10. Now it's 10.3. And 10.5 rebounds a game. Plus, he's getting almost 2 steals a game.
Yeah.
He's scoring more points than Harden. He's only behind in assists by 1. And he's getting more rebounds than Harden. He's averaging 2 more points a game than Harden. And he's only behind by 1 assist. And he's scoring. He's getting more rebounds. Here's my thing. I don't think it should matter what the team does. I've never thought that. It's about who's the most valuable player. If you take LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook off their respective teams, only one team doesn't make the playoffs. Only one, and that is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're the only team. I think that Rockets team makes the playoffs. Now, granted, they wouldn't be a 3 seed. They'd probably be about a 7. But they have players.
You think they'd make it without Harden?
I think they would still make it.
There's no way, man.
Really
I'm looking
do.
At this roster. They'd be garbage, man. They got Lou Williams.
I'm not saying they wouldn't be garbage. I'm not saying they would be good. Like, I think
they'd have a losing record. I don't know. I think they'd be about 10. But I think the Thunder would be worse. Don't get me wrong. But
they would.
I don't think the Rockets,
without a doubt.
I don't think the Rockets stand a chance of making it without Harden. Like, there's just no way. Like, this team's not very good. They basically just have a bunch of role players. Harden makes all these guys way better. He gets with their offense, the way their offense is lined up, it's like perfect for Harden. He just sets up these guys, these shooters that are around him. You got like Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, Lou Williams. These guys.
Yeah, but listen
not,
to those names. Listen to those names. Listen to those knockdown
shooters that
you're saying.
They can shoot.
You got Trevor Ariza. Okay, you've got Trevor Ariza. You've named Ryan Anderson. Like, basically, it's James Harden and a bunch of shooters. Okay, let's say you take James Harden off that team, right? You need a slasher.
Yeah.
All right, say it's not James Harden. Say it's not a Russell Westbrook. Who would be a good fit for that system? With the
None of these guys.
Scott, do you think maybe a Rajon Rondo could fit that system?
No, because Rajon Rondo doesn't
Rajon
fit any system.
Hold on. Rajon Rondo does not fit a system where he has to create his own shot. However, in a system like this, he wouldn't. He would be more facilitating to shooters.
And we've all seen Rajon Rondo can flash and get to the basket. I'm not saying he would put up the numbers Harden's putting up and that they would win the games that Harden is having them win, but I don't think that James Harden, while I think he's a great player and he's having a great season and he's very valuable, I don't see where he is more valuable than Russell Westbrook. That's just my thing. Mike D'Antoni's system thrives and makes a point guard better. Mike D'Antoni's system made Steve Nash an MVP.
And there's a difference between James Harden and Steve Nash.
I agree completely.
He might be the worst MVP ever, I think. Derrick Rose. Yeah, you're right. Derrick Rose, he's overrated. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, very much so. But that's just my thing. It's a good system fit. But to me, if you get a guy that is a good slasher, he could fit in there perfectly and take that team. Like, who's to say a Patrick Beverley couldn't do that if he's given the opportunity? Patrick Beverley's a good player.
He's not that good. He's a good defender.
Harden. He's not Harden. Like, he's not going to put up points.
None of these guys can play defense.
Oh, no, they can't. They're awful at defense.
I don't know, man.
To me,
I don't think Patrick Beverley.
That's another reason
why Harden's that good of a facilitator.
Well, who could tell? He doesn't get to play.
I don't think Westbrook's a good defender either, though. I just think he plays really hard, and he's a little bit. I think Harden is way more in control than Westbrook, which sometimes it works to Westbrook's advantage with him being out of control. He's just an animal out there, and sometimes it thrives. And we'll see come playoff time. I think whoever's playing them is going to have their hands full. But then again, whoever's playing them could beat them for nothing, like instantly.
I think the Thunder. It's pretty obvious the Thunder are probably – they're not going to make it out of the first round. And that's just because
– It depends on who they play. What if they play the Rockets in the first round?
Let me see. Let me see what the standings look like right here. Let me pull up my –
I think they're seventh.
Right now they are. I want to see how far back a sixth they are because somehow Memphis is still in this thing. Every year they're good. It's like they get an automatic bid. They're like the at-large team. Like Michigan State. Okay. I take it back. Oklahoma City is in sixth right now. And they're only a game back of fifth. I stand corrected. But they're tied with Memphis right now. So we could end up with that Houston-Oklahoma City matchup.
That'd be exciting.
It really would. We could end up with an Oklahoma City-Utah matchup.
That wouldn't be as exciting.
If Oklahoma City finishes in the top five, because they're only a game back.
He'll get it.
I think you have no reason but to give the MVP to Russell Westbrook.
Still close, though, man. It's closer than you think. You got to take certain things. The Harden field goal percentage is way better. Because Westbrook, for a guy averaging triple-double,
also has better players. Like Westbrook has to shoot more.
I think if Oladipo was on Harden's team, Harden makes Oladipo better than what he is right now. That's all I'm saying. Like I don't think Westbrook makes Oladipo a better player, but I think Harden would make Oladipo a better player. But they still got a good player. They got some good players, man. Like I mean, Oladipo is good.
They're just now starting to put it together since the trade.
Yeah.
Like it takes a few weeks. They're putting it together now. Finally, we've only got a minute of the live portion left here, so we're gonna take a minute here. I want to thank everybody for listening to the live portion of the show. We hope your brackets aren't as busted as ours are, and we're gonna go a little bit over past the live feed. We're gonna talk a little more about the MVP talk, and we're going to talk some more about the NBA Coach of the Year and who we think should receive that honor. I think it's pretty obvious who should get that, but we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. So, Caleb, anything you want to say before we go off the live portion?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Well, you can catch Caleb's movie reviews online. On his Facebook page. If you're into movies, then you'll definitely want to look him up. So we got about 10 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. but we'll be continuing this very, very shortly, and we will continue that now. All right, so we're off of live. Now, let's see. I do want to say this about the MVP race here. To me, it's a two-dog race or a two-horse race. I watched Colin Cowherd last week try to defend why LeBron James should be MVP.
And then in the
next segment, he had the gall to try to defend LeVar Ball's claim that his kids should get $1 billion for shoe deals.
Yeah.
Colin Cowherd, you're an idiot.
I very rarely agree with him. I don't think I've ever agreed with him on anything. Whenever you hear someone say so many things, you will agree with something. But more often than not, I don't agree with anything he says.
This is the same guy that says Kentucky players underperform, but he wants to give LeVar Ball's kids $1 billion, and we don't even know what they're going to turn into.
I think he's just trolling everybody.
Who?
I think he's just trolling everybody. I think that's –
Colin Cowherd or LeVar
I have a hard
Ball?
Time. Both, man. Seriously.
I can agree with that.
Yeah,
Colin
seriously.
An idiot. Like everything,
there's no way
I don't understand how these guys can get sports shows, but I can't. Like, I clearly know more.
I wish one dude still had a show that was, you know, somewhat – that people watch.
The only
what was his name?
I trust
Bill
on
Simmons?
A sports show about,
I like Bill Simmons.
Even Bill Simmons, I got to take him with a grain of salt.
I think he knows his stuff, though, man. Yeah, I like the starters a lot.
The starters are probably the best, honestly.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's got to go to Harden or Westbrook, and if it goes to anybody else, I'm going to be angry. Like, that's just how I'm looking at it.
It's going
right
to be wrong.
Now.
It's going to be wrong if it goes to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, if you give – everybody says, oh, you give LeBron the MVP every year. I don't think you can give LeBron the MVP this year. You just can't do it.
No, and the Cavs have been kind of crappy the last few weeks, actually. Like, they barely beat the Lakers last night. The Lakers are a bad team. They're bad.
Well, I know they're setting a lot of their players, and also that's getting to be a little ridiculous now that they're already starting to set players for the playoffs. Like,
they played LeBron. They played everybody last night, though, and they barely beat the Lakers.
Yeah.
So,
well,
they gave up a lot of points.
Well, you know the Cavs, this late in the year, they kind of slow down. And the Warriors,
I hope
too,
they
the
get
Warriors
beat in the first round.
Slip and...
Except for tonight.
Yeah, they weren't tonight.
Yeah, they
the Warriors
them.
Just come to play against the Thunder. They really hate the Thunder. And the feeling is clearly mutual.
Durant didn't even play, so.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like they're just trying to beat the Thunder just because they want to show that Westbrook's not that good. Well, you know, when it's 8-on-5 out there.
Westbrook didn't have great numbers tonight. He didn't, like, he only had 15 points tonight. Didn't have a triple-double either.
Yeah.
Didn't even have a double-double. That's not very common.
That's really uncommon. But I did want to talk about Coach of the Year because I've already heard mumblings for Coach of the Year. And as far, you know, I feel like you could give it to Greg Popovich every year if you wanted to. Honestly, I think Greg Popovich is the best coach to ever coach in the NBA. Like, and I mean
I think he is, too.
Like, honestly,
I don't think it's close.
Like,
I don't think it's even close.
It's really
close,
not.
Really.
Because I've seen the guy take – he can just take players.
It's ridiculous.
He just picks people like out of a draft that nobody's ever heard of, and honestly, I'd never heard of Kawhi Leonard until Greg Popovich got a hold of him.
No,
and
never
it was
did.
Like,
never
now
heard
he's
of
like
him.
This amazing player. He came out of San Diego State, and it's just like, goodness, how did Pop know? He just knows, and it's just like the best run organization I've ever seen. But honestly, I think this year, Coach of the Year, who would you give it to?
I think it's easy. You give it to Luke Walton.
Now, who are you really going to give it to?
Man, I don't know. Who coaches who? I'd probably give it to D'Antoni, maybe.
Honestly,
you'd
have to. You got to give it to D'Antoni.
Like, it's such a turnaround from last year. Like, what were they seeded last year? Like a 7? They barely made the playoffs
seven
last
or eight.
Year.
And they had, like, did they not have Dwight Howard last year?
Yeah, Dwight Howard sucked, though. Like, he makes teams worse,
yeah.
I think. They're way better this year. And I think D'Antoni's system helps a lot. So I think he's coach of the year.
I agree. I think D'Antoni should get it.
Nobody else really stands out.
They really don't. Like, I haven't seen anybody. Maybe Utah.
Steve Kerr has an easy job. Who?
I tell you what, you could give Steve Kerr's job to anybody, and they.
I mean,
because
Luke Walton coached them for like 30 games last year or something. They didn't lose a game hardly. So I mean,
yeah,
they're just a good team.
It's not hard when you got that many superstars.
It was just a really good team.
How good a team? Like Isaiah Thomas couldn't mess that up.
I think Mark Jackson set up a good deal of that, honestly, in Golden State.
He did.
So.
Mark Jackson doesn't get the credit he deserves either.
He laid the foundation.
I mean, if it wasn't for Mark Jackson, I don't think the Warriors get that title.
No.
I really don't.
I think he really helped that team's chemistry a pretty good lot, actually.
Oh, he did. He really did. But I do want to bring this up. You saw did you see the scuffle between the Bucks and the Lakers the other night?
I saw it for the first time today. I heard about it, but I finally saw it today.
See what Walton said.
Yeah, I saw it, man.
Walton was pretty angry. I noticed that. He was talking about, don't put your hands on my damn players and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was like, gee, Luke.
Well,
I did not realize Luke Walton was Darth Vader's stepson. I did not realize how deep that man's voice is.
Yeah. Well, I've seen an evolution in Luke Walton. At the beginning of the year when the Lakers were considered a good team and they were winning games, he was, like, really happy. But then something happened, and you see him in post-game interviews. He just looks so depressed, and his voice gets lower every post-game.
Like, eventually he's going to sound like Barry White. Like, it's getting really out of hand. But my thing with Luke Walton is I think he's going to be a good coach. I really do. It's just he doesn't have much to work with right now. You got Magic Johnson coming in, trading off his best players for like second round picks.
Here's the thing: they just moved D'Angelo Russell to shooting guard, and he scored 40 points in his first game as shooting guard. And I think it's the right move. If they bring in like a Lonzo Ball, move Lonzo to point guard, move D'Angelo to shooting guard, and have Ingram, who's been breaking free lately, like he could win Rookie of the Year with the way he's been playing lately. Like they could be a really good team next year. So, fingers crossed that they get Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't be. There's really no reason why they couldn't be. I think they've got talent, and they've got a solid foundation to build on. And clearly, they're going to get Paul George in a couple years, so they'll be happy when that happens. Major thing with the Lakers organization is just hope that Magic knows what he's doing in the front office. I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Because I've seen his track record, and I really wonder sometimes, but we'll see. I mean, look, some former players do a great job. You know, Danny Ainge does a great job in Boston, and you know, there's a lot of former players out there that do well. And then there's other players that just have no business in the front office, Isaiah Thomas. You just don't need to be in there.
Yeah.
It's tough. Omar Caspi got signed by the Timberwolves, in case anybody cares. That's a new
man. He's been all over the place, man.
Omar Caspi has played for everyone. Like, I think he's only got a couple teams in there that he hasn't
played
for.
He was on the Pelicans, like, at the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the Israeli nightmare, I guess you could call him.
He's a solid role player, though.
I mean, he gets the job done. He's a good jump shooter. I mean, when it comes down to that's really all he gets. That's really all he does. Good jump shooter. Not that great of a defender. I don't know. He just gives the Wolves a jump shooter. They just got him for the rest of the season, I guess, just because. I mean, why not? Like, they had to cut Lance Stephenson because Stephenson got hurt, and he was actually playing pretty good for him. That's another head-scratcher over there, is that organization. Don't get me started. I did see today the 76ers went over their projected win total. They were projected 24.5, and they've won 26. So the Sixers have—they've done it. They've eclipsed 25 wins. They did it. Go them!
If you look at their roster; it's shocking because they're pretty trashy right now.
They've got a guy on that team who, I'll be honest, I hadn't heard of him until the other day. and I picked him up on my fantasy team. Rashawn Holmes. This guy's been killing it. Like his, here's the man's average, right? Here, listen to this average. 8.4 points a game, right? One block, five rebounds. Doesn't sound like much, right?
Yeah.
Tonight against Orlando, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, and 24 points.
Yeah.
And then, like, against Dallas, he had 17.7 rebounds, 14 points, 8 rebounds. Like, this guy's turning it on.
Yeah, they got to have somebody with Joel Embiid out.
Somebody's got to score.
Ben Simmons not playing a game this year. Like, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers has got talent. Like, they're gonna get there, I believe.
They think like, they need better guards.
That they do, and I think that's gonna be their focus this draft. If they take a big guy this draft, then they need to be the owner side.
They need to fire.
Like, I just
need to fire everybody.
They really do. Yeah. One more newsworthy item here: Champions Basketball League. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
You've heard about it. Well, apparently the Gotham Ballers. Have you seen about the Gotham Ballers, what they're doing?
No. No.
They are actually offering shares of their team. You can be an owner of the Gotham Ballers if you'd like to
really?
Be. Yeah. They're selling their shares, and if you order, if you buy a $140 minimum is the minimum requirement. If you spend $140 on shares of the Gotham Ballers, you get 2 tickets to a game. You get to come in through the owner's entrance and the owner's parking lot. You get a certificate saying you are an owner. They get to meet and greet the players before the game. So I was like, that's kind of neat.
That's not that
but,
much
like,
money.
No, it's really not. Like, it's really not. And this team has like Al Harrington on it. Kenyon Martin, I believe they have. Yeah,
it's
I mean.
Troublemaker team. That's a troublemaker team.
Yeah, it really is. Like, this is a team you don't want to avoid. But there's been a lot of guys announced for this league. Like, I saw Keon Dooling is going to be in it, Ronaldo Baldwin, Al Harrington, Rasheed Wallace.
Baron Davis is playing in this league.
Booby Gibson. I mean, it's not going to be awful. Like, I'm actually really looking forward to it.
I'd watch that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's starting to pick up some steam, I believe, and I believe I even heard rumors that Allen Iverson might join it.
Yeah, I saw that, too. That'd be cool.
Who knows? We'll keep an eye on that. And I may actually have to invest in that. But we're about out of time for tonight. So, Caleb, man, thanks for coming on, talking some basketball with me. And if you're listening out there, our numbers have – I was checking them the other day. Our numbers aren't high, but they're higher than they have been. So, to everybody out there listening, thank you. Thank you for listening and giving the show a chance and letting me talk basketball and you guys listening and stuff. So, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate, Caleb, you being on here. And – may have to get you back on next week, depending after we can talk more brackets, playoffs and things of that nature. But, man, thanks for coming on. It was fun. I enjoyed doing it.
No problem.
We'll do it again. All right. Until next time, guys, thanks for listening. And this has been Post Up with Nathan Bush, and we'll see you next week.